that's, I think that's the biggest thing in anything, relationships, sales. I notice who you are, and I understand it. I want to help you. You know, yeah. I notice you.
So, I think people don't realize how important that is, even when you only have a couple comments.
Yeah.
Because they think that, well, you know, I didn't get the engagement I wanted, blah, blah, blah. And then I see they don't reply to the comments.
Yeah. So if you had...
You should appreciate every comment.
If you had two people watching your live, two people commenting, you need to make sure you 100% respond to all those. Follow them as well. Be a part of their network. Because if those two people took time to pay attention to you, you 100% need to take time to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah. I think people don't do that. They just judge their metrics and think, oh, you know, I'm not going anywhere, but they don't take the time to really invest on the few people, you know, but like you said, just going and sending them friend requests and, you know, comment on some of their posts and watching their stories and whatever, which I feel like going viral kind of tainted my ability to be able to be more invested into people, because it got to a point where I couldn't manage it anymore and I got burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm finding myself back in this space where I want to be more connected with people. Just didn't really know how, but you're so right. I mean, the basic way to start doing that again is just making sure I reply to all my comments, which I try to do. I really do, especially, you know, now, but teaching that is so important, and I think people, they know it's important, but they don't know why it's important. They just think, oh, it boosts out my posts in Facebook. It's like, no, it doesn't just boost out your posts. Like, it's what allows you to create emotional connections with people because they feel seen.
Well, and, you know, on Facebook, it is about, like, algorithms and stuff, too, but, you know, when you first started, myself and maybe your sister-in-law was the only people watching your lives.
Yeah.
Two or three people.
And like you...
And you commenting and responding, if I said, hey, great job, babe, you killed it. And your sister-in-law said, hey, you love watching tonight. We was up late, but going to bed. Whatever they said, or we said, and you responded to, also put that conversation out into their network. That they seen, everybody seen, how you was invested in making people around you happy. Your husband, your sister-in-law, whoever, your friends, people that just engaged with you, they seen how much you cared about their happiness too. And that starts to build a following.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Because sometimes when I'll comment back to people or reply to people, other people will like my comment because they've seen me interact with someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times that doesn't get the spotlight it deserves because that is so important. And what's funny is I'll catch myself thinking about that. About other people who I follow that I like. I'm like, wow, she took the time to answer that person. Yeah. Or, wow, she's really invested in the people in her comments. Or she's responding. And it makes me, you know, respect them even more.
Well, let's say like a birthday response, right? So let's say it's your birthday. You got 500 people that say happy birthday, right? Then at the end of the day, you say, I want to thank everybody for wishing me a happy birthday. That honestly is disingenuous. Not that anybody means it to be. They're doing it just because everybody's going to see it. It's just
they don't feel like. I think they have no reason. I get that side of it, but at the same time,
it's not a bad thing. It's just is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree with it. I also think too that there's another layer to that of that they try to care, but they feel like they don't have the time out of their day to thank everyone individually.
Well,
So they just put out a blanket statement that they hope everyone will see.
That's what I was getting at. So just like running a business online, right? So if you're putting out blank statements, people are going to see that as disingenuous. Hey, come buy from me. Hey, I'm selling this. Hey, you want to change your life? Do this. But imagine, just like on the birthday quotes, if those people that wished you happy birthday, if you went back and said, oh, thank you so much. I seen you in here. I'm glad you had a great time. Hey, your birthday's in 3 days. If I don't, catch it, happy birthday.
This is what I need you to do for me, is manage my comments.
Yeah.
And comment.
That's what I'm saying.
To people.
Yeah. Probably.
You're so great at it.
Yeah. Well, because, it's not that I honestly care about how people react to conversation and feelings.
I do, too. I just feel so overwhelmed and, with, the kids all over me all the time and just feeling this huge responsibility around helping so many people. I feel like I don't have the time to do that. I've got to focus on the bigger picture, but that people are the bigger picture. Yeah. So I need to slow down. And that's what I tell people all the time, too. Slow down to speed up. Slow down. Take the time to notice people and make them feel noticed. Because I do notice people. It's just, how do I slow down to take the time to make them know that I notice them and feel that from me? That's what I need to do, get better at.
For me, I never worry about the past. And I never worry about the future. I do everything I can today, and I do that every day.
You're an in-the-moment person.
Because I know that if I do that, the future will take care of itself, and the past won't matter.
I mean, I agree to an extent. Yeah, I do think it takes both a person who's in the day-to-day and a person that thinks about the future. Because if you get stuck in a mode of day-to-day and you don't look to see if those day-to-day activities are going to move your future forward, you could just get stuck in the same repetitive cycle and never grow.
Well,
that's where I always try to see, are the things I'm doing now going to get me ahead? And also making sure that I balance the other side of the day-to-day and don't forget about that and know that that's part of helping me see that bigger future.
Yeah, you're right, because honestly, I think about my past, which is exactly also what I just said. So if your life does revolve around day to day, right? You do everything today, but you do it the same every day. Obviously your life's not going to change. Let's say you go to the same job, you're told that this is what you can do, this is all you can do, this is as far as you're going to go, but you need to show up and do it every day. That's what you're going to do. That's what provides for your family, and you're comfortable with it. I did it. A lot of people did it, and it's hard to get out of that routine. For me,
if you're a day-to-day person.
Yeah, I'm 100% a day-to-day person. For me, what completely rocked my world was you showing me that there's a whole nother world out there, business-wise, life-wise. It was hard for me at first to rationalize your way of thinking. no joke. You was like, hey, there's this whole world out there we can capture. You've been a doctor mindset, you've been a lawyer mindset, you've been a criminology mindset. Now you're an entrepreneur on social media mindset. So you have seen a lot of different avenues. But for me to be able to pull myself out of a 9-to-5 and realize that really if you've done your 9-to-5, in a passion that you love, what could you really make happen?
Mm-hmm.
But that is hard for a lot of people because they get stuck in having to feel like they have to come up with that 9 to 5 just to pay their bills every month. So, you know, I get it. It is hard. It's not. Yeah, it's not easy. Like,
well, that's the really great way to explain that is like how you were in your. Well, it wasn't exactly 9 to 5, but it was like your corporate job.
Yeah,
right?
It was more like 9 to 9.
You still were passionate about helping people. That you created a leadership space and mentorship space inside of that when you were never really asked to.
Yeah.
It's just what you were passionate about, which was helping coach people. That's why you would be a great coach.
Yeah.
Coaching people. You did that inside of your 9 to 5 even without being asked.
Yeah.
And so people who, like you can find meaning and purpose and a bigger, you know... create a bigger vision inside a 9 to 5.
Yeah.
It's just, like you said, most people can't because the 9 to 5 is their prison.
Yeah.
And so it's like, for the people that feel like it's their prison, how can we break them out and show them this other world? You can thrive in either one. You can thrive in both worlds. You can thrive in the 9 to 5 and you can thrive in your own business.
Yeah.
And I think, though... we've now seen, though, that obviously your own business is the more lucrative avenue.
Yeah, it is, but sometimes it's not, and I'm not saying anything about anybody I've ever dealt with, but sometimes it's not the most fulfilling.
Yeah.
Because I am out helping people, but, you know, those people are giving me, you know, a way of income. So not a lot of times do they feel like they're doing... am I doing them like a service or are they doing me a service? Sometimes they do. You know what I mean? Like the squeaky wheel is the loudest, right? So most of the people you hear from are the ones like that it went wrong. But those people that said, hey, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. You made this so smooth and amazing because of your service. Though that's what makes it worthwhile. But... being in a, like for a person like me, being in a place where you can see people growing and changing their lives in a positive direction, whether it be customers or other workers, you know, associates, that's fulfilling to somebody like me. Yeah,
I think seeing that running your own business is more lucrative has been eye-opening and given you the confidence to do your own business. I just think also, like you said, what you're doing isn't 100% fulfilling because you are somebody that is meant to have your own business, but also something that has that coaching aspect inside of it. And that's a little bit of what you're missing. You have it, you know, you have it a little bit, you know, working with, my cousin, but which has brought fun and excitement into the business. It's brought another level of it, but you don't get to do that on the scale that you were doing that. And so I think a business for you where you get to coach people and empower people, that would be super fulfilling for you.
100%. When I can find a way to do whatever it is that I'm doing, it don't matter. Or if I could find a way to be who I am and help people level up in whatever they're doing, that's when I know I will be my most satisfied. Like, you know, I get energy just from making you coffee. You know what I mean? Like knowing that you're going to be happy that there's coffee sitting for you when you wake up in the morning, I get energy from that. I know that you're going to wake up with a smile on your face ready to hit the day. So if I'm the first thing that somebody thinks about when they get up ready to work and that makes them in a positive situation, if I was on a podcast or a call or if I was a 7 o'clock morning show, you know, whatever, and I was the thing that really got them going in the morning and I knew that and I knew what I was giving them was great information and positivity, then I would feel fulfilled.
You could just start with a simple podcast where every morning you got up, you recorded like a little minute or two positive, motivational thing, like episode. And that's all. You didn't have to like train or anything. It's just like you used to do in your morning meetings, right?
Right, yeah.
just do that in the morning on your podcast.
Yeah. Like, to see, like when I used to do morning meetings at work, to see people just for a moment get a little excited over the monotonous words that we had to say in morning meetings, but you being able to say it in a way that almost made them excited. I'm sure everybody that's ever worked with me listening to this, they're like, man, you sounded so dumb. But if you did feel happy after I spoke, I appreciate it.
I bet they didn't think you were dumb.
But, you know, it's just like, hey, you know, we've got a lot of stuff we can do here. You're already here. Let's accomplish something great, and let's all do it together and see what the outcome can be, and then enjoy our success as a team. Yeah. You know, so that's kind of what I loved about working in an environment like that. I love working for myself. I love the freedom, the entrepreneurship, the possibilities is endless. And the things I can do to help people now are amazing. But I do love being able to take people and level them up and give them a life that they never even thought existed, because that's what's happened for me, and I want to do that for a lot of other people, too.
I mean, you so. Have a similar calling to me.
Yeah. 100%.
You just haven't stepped into it in the online space.
No, I have not.
And I've never done it in person, yeah. So.
it's uncomfortable for both of us to go into that other direction.
I'm going to say in the past, I've done it in person now, but...
Yeah.
You're starting.
Well, it's just different. It's different. Now, that you're getting into that in-person conversations through Zoom calls and in-person, it's a completely different feeling than it was just all through via message and...
Yeah, I think that's what you would experience too, though, is a new level of yourself going into the online space.
Yeah, being able to reach a lot of people. Now, I would still
get that validation and recognition too that you don't get.
Yeah, I think my biggest scarcity would be like how I'm able to connect with people emotionally. The same way I do in person, online. So.
But you just have to do exactly what you're doing right now. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That is.
I think voice message for me would be good, because I'm not super analytical. I'm not great at like structures of English and literature. So, but I mean, like, so everything's not going to be pronunciated correctly or whatever. But. So I think if I say things the way I need to say, people could understand my emotion and feelings behind it. So
you don't need to worry about the way that you say things. The way you say things is amazing.
Yeah.
You don't doubt yourself. I think that you try to play dumb, and it gets projected onto you that you're dumb, and you're not. The way you say things and... Yeah, you might not be able to spell a few words, but who cares? Like, most people misspell words. I'm just like a grammar Nazi, so that's just me. But most people misspell words. I see it all the time, even like really big successful people online. Yeah. So that has nothing to do with your intelligence level.
Yeah, I guess that's probably... And I would tell anybody, you know, so you're going to have things that are going to, you're going to give yourself excuses not to get outside your box.
Yeah.
When I started in the corporate world, if I would have said, no, I can't be a manager or I can't be a top salesperson, I'm just, you know, give me a list of stuff to do and I'm going to do that, then I would have never learned anything. Unfortunately. Now, not to say that if you're doing that, hey, that's your life, you're happy with it. But I'm telling you, for me, if I hadn't have said, hey, I want to learn more. You got a sales position where I can make more money to provide for my family? I want it. I can do it. You got a manager position that's going to make me more money, that's going to progress me in my life and take care of my family better? That's the job I want. I wasn't scared to say I wanted it because I knew what my conviction was, and that's taking care of my family. So,
shoot. You are so hot right now.
Right?
Oh, my
right.
God.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
Do I need to put my pants back on? Is this a video or just a
recording?
I'm just kidding.
It's recording.
That's a joke, but I got pants on.
Yeah. Yes, you're so right. And I think, you know, the more we talk about this stuff, the more I realize that we are the same.
We are.
We yeah. just are also totally opposite in how we operate. You're very in person. You're very emotional. I'm very online, very unemotional. Although, I feel like there's a little empathy bubble that is growing inside of me and has been for a while. And that's mainly to do with you.
Yeah.
For sure. You have helped me grow in that area a lot and really be able to deeply see people and take the time and create those genuine connections. And not because I didn't want to. It's because I was scared to.
Yeah.
I was so afraid of exposing my vulnerability and exposing myself, my true authentic self. And that's why, you know, I think that I started to hate the word authentic is because I unconsciously actually knew that some part of me wasn't being authentic. And so you've helped me grow into who I want to be to people. I just was and still have parts of me that's scared to expose myself in that way to other yeah. human beings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe because childhood things, maybe because I don't know, but I don't know what it was. I don't know what the triggers were when I was younger. You know, I felt a little bit like an outcast sometimes and made fun of and, you know, definitely wasn't the cool kid. Felt like I had a target on my back. Felt like it had people straight up tell me, my friends tell me that they were jealous of me. And it's almost like I felt like there was a coordinated attack against me at all times.
Yeah.
Because not in a sense of, oh, everybody's out to get me, but like everybody's jealous of me.
Right.
And whether I projected that onto myself or that was the truth, I don't know. It seems as I've grown older, it has been the truth. And I think that that's the hardest, is because if it was a projection, I could say, oh, Kelsey, that was dumb to think that. But like, no, it's the truth. People were jealous of me. They verbalized that. And so maybe that's a little bit of the block that I have around the guilt of being super successful. Is knowing people are jealous, and like brings me back to high school where I felt alone because I felt like everyone looked at me a certain way and had certain standards of me and certain whatever and didn't actually really like me but pretended that they did.
Yeah.
That's where my distrust for, you know, especially females came into play, because guys, dudes, people I played basketball with and stuff, like, dudes weren't shady, or at least I didn't feel, I mean, probably some of them were, but I didn't feel like they were. I felt like they were, you know, they showed that they liked me. They're like, we want you to know that I like you, like, trying to flirt with me and stuff. And, you know, maybe people seen me as a flirt because of that, because guys showed me, wanted me to know that they liked me. I was just so insecure and unconfident and felt like a target was on my back by so many other people, like maybe the females, women, that I didn't even open myself up to the idea of dating a guy that I went to high school with.
I think a lot of times, especially like we just got into high school somehow, but and high school is a super important part of our life, because when we're in our adolescence, we're learning a lot of who we are. We're around people that we think we want to be like and whatever. But, you know, when you are naturally convicted to be a person that is wanting to do great things and be great, a lot of times, unfortunately, there's a lot of kids or people around you that don't know what they want to be, and they're still confused and conflicted, and they're not really willing to work hard to be anything different than just being. And that's okay at that time, but what it does is it brings those really hard workers sometimes down. Like, it pulls them down because they feel left out. They, you know, because it's usually a 1% of people that want to be way more than everybody else. And everybody's like, no, listen, hey, that's way too hard. I don't want to be that. You shouldn't either, you know. But really, those people can't help it. They're naturally inclined.
Yeah.
They're naturally inclined to want to be better. Sometimes they feel guilty or they feel bad because everybody else doesn't feel like that. But the fact is, they're just naturally inclined to want to be an important person in society, and they can't help that. Like, they're not just trying to impress mommy and daddy to be valedictorian. They're not just trying to get into Stanford. They're just like their design says, whatever I got to do to be successful and to help people and do great things in life, I want to do it. And people that aren't wired like that don't understand. They just think that person wants attention. But a lot of times, it's exactly. Just you're inclined to be like that.
Exactly. So. Like, I was always the best at anything I ever did.
Yeah.
And people hated me for it. Like, anything I ever did, I, you know, was super smart, super athletic. I could fix computers and do electrical stuff. I could hunt. I could fish. I could jug and catch turtles. And I could train dogs.
Well, I mean,
I could ride horses and call it for and show horses. Like, anything I've ever done except sing. Yeah. I can't do that.
No, you have a beautiful voice.
I feel like I'm getting better. Yeah. But honestly, give me enough practice, I will become amazing at it, because that is just in my nature.
It is. And being a husband or being a male figure in a relationship, that could be very demasculating. Like, I could look at her and be like, man, do you have to be the best at everything? Really? Like, do we have to go play basketball and you beat me in horse? Which, that's never happened, because I'm actually...
I just beat you three times.
I'm an amazing golfer, and I take her golfing, and, like, she just picks up a golf club and hits it 250 yards down the middle, like, first time she ever even swings a club. So, I'm like, that's, like, who are you? Are you a robot? I'm pretty sure she's a robot.
You have called me an alien before.
I think she's an alien, if there's such a thing. But
explain why my head's so big and my eyeballs are really big.
So she definitely fits the suit. But it's like, you know, or you could help nourish what she is and understand that, hey, you know, just like her, she loves me for a reason, because I make her better. Just like a friendship or a business relationship, if a person that you're working with is amazing, help them expand what they are great at. Don't be jealous of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can help people always grow, you're always going to benefit more yourself too. But you're going to feel a lot better about everybody around you winning.
I feel like
if it's hard, but if you can do that, that's the win.
Yeah, and I feel like the jealousy comes from the lack of benefiting from that person.
Yeah.
So, but if you really think about it, even if you're not like on the same team in a company, or you're not, you know, some sort of financially somehow related, and it just really, really no benefit whatsoever from that person succeeding, then just like you said, the jealousy still shouldn't be there, because us as a collective human being society, it is in our best interest and benefit to want other people to succeed. It just makes us a better person.
Yeah. And you don't need to grade yourself on another person's success. You know, another,
just wanting success for them.
Yeah. If you yourself, or let's say a person that you admired in a sales situation sold $1 million and you only sold 100,000, well, what was that 100,000 to you, right? Have you ever sold 100,000 before? How many customers did you have to talk to get that 100,000? How many emotional heels did you have to climb to be able to create situations where you sold 100,000 that you never even thought was possible? Don't say don't grade yourself on having to be that $1 million salesperson. Grade yourself on bettering you every day and giving yourself the small successes to get where you're at, and then continue to do that. And when I said earlier, you know, I go through every day, I grind it, I get it, and it works out. But I do have a process, you know. I have a process that I'm going to do this every day, and I'm going to do a little bit more, and I'm going to do a little bit more, and I'm going to be better and quicker, so I refine my skills. But I don't never feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I always get up and do something every day. So just continue to work hard for a goal, and it'll come.
All right, I think we're going to end this one right here.
Yeah.
And then start a new one.
Was you recording that?
Yeah.
Cool.
I started it as you were going into it, but I think where I very first started recording makes sense to start it there. So I missed a little bit of before, but
yeah,
it's all good. I think this is good.
No,
good, good, good. All right. Until next time.
Hey, see you tomorrow.